Howdy, listener, and thanks for tuning into our podcast, The Movie Log, A Journey Through Cinema. My name is Izzy.
And my name is David. Each week, one of us will pick a movie that the other has not seen. We will deep dive into our individual takes and historical background of the movie.
Please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram at TML A Journey Through Cinema and Twitter at TML A Journey. Howdy, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Movie Log, A Journey Through Cinema. In this week's episode, we traveled to Hong Kong in 1987 to discuss the movie A Chinese Ghost Story. This movie stars Leslie Cheung, Joey Wong, and Wu Ma, directed by Ching Su Tong, loosely based on a story from a collection called Stories from a Chinese Studio by Pu Songling, first published in the Qin Dynasty, 1740. This week's Halloween monster is ghosts. So, Dad, why did you pick this film?
I picked it because we were picking movies for Halloween, and we were picking different movies from different eras, genres, all that kind of stuff, but it had to have an horror element because we're going to be talking about Halloween. And I remember this film being a lot of fun when I first saw it, and having that comedy, romance, and horror element, the ghost story element. So I thought it'd be fun to bring along as our first monster, Halloween monsters, ghosts. And it's also a much different viewpoint of ghosts than what is normally put out there in Western culture. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to discuss some of the differences. Did you like this film?
I did like this film. I thought it was a very fun film. It definitely reminded me of those of movies that my mom loves to watch during Halloween time, where they're like a little bit more on the comedic side than the scary side. But I think it balanced it very well, and I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, there's definitely, it starts off much broader and much more on the comedy side, and then the romances brought in, and then of course it does finish with it finishes with that more on the horror aspect of it, because you have to go into the underworld and all that. But I think the balance throughout the entire film is fun, and then of course adding martial arts to it makes it even that much more fun.
Yes, it definitely adds to the story.
We were discussing this film, and when I brought it up, we started doing research. This film is important in Chinese cinema, more important than I thought it was. I just remember seeing it in the theaters, thinking it was a blast at a retrospective back in the late 80s. And it was with a couple other films that came before this film that I just kind of in my brain have grouped all together because I saw them all together. I didn't realize that Encounters of the Spooky Kind, made in 1980, and Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain were made 4 years before.
Well, it was quite funny when we were trying to do research, because I would type in what I was interested about, and then things would pop up that would answer the question, but they were all behind paywalls because of the fact that they were all like super duper PhD people talking about this movie. And I just thought it was super interesting, because the way that you were explaining this movie to me and what I watched was like a fun horror movie. And I didn't realize how impactful it was, first of all, in the course of how movies in Hong Kong were made, but also for how impactful it is in mainland China.
It became enough of a success that it spawned two sequels. There's an animated film that came out right in 97. And then there's a remake that came out in 2011. And then there's now a television series that's being produced, all based on this movie. Now, this movie, like you said, uses stories from a Chinese studio, which is kind of like, if we had to describe it, it'd be kind of like a cross between Grimm's Fairy Tales and The Twilight Zone in aspects. They're kind of like series of stories, have like these weird or supernatural aspects to them.
But underneath those supernatural aspects, they're talking about politics and social constructs and things like that.
Yeah, they're commenting on society at large. Stories from this collection had been made into movies before. The same story that inspired this movie was made into a movie called Enchanting Shadow in 1960 by the Shaw Brothers. It was done much differently. It was much more like a costume drama and had very much that aspect that would be considered like a Victorian horror aspect to it. It was their entry into the Academy Awards that year because that's how grand the film was.
Even though it wasn't accepted as a nominee, which I cannot find why.
There's a lot of weird rules in Hollywood when it comes to foreign films.
Well, that's the thing. I know this is a little off topic, but that was the thing with Parasite that I never understood. It's like, I'm really glad that it won the Oscar for Best Picture, but it wasn't even allowed to be considered for Best Foreign Feature either.
I don't know. I like I said, maybe it was the horror aspect of it.
It was also their entrance to the Cannes Film Festival that year.
So Enchanting Shadow was made. And then when this was decided to be made in 87, it actually was an idea that had been going on for about 7 years. And when they first pitched it, they pitched it as a television series. And the people at the network that were in charge of the television studio were like, nope, that doesn't sound great for television. So it sat around. And then, of course, Encounters with Spooky Kind came out. And then what else? What was the other one? Mr. Vampire and
Zoo Warriors from Magic Mountain. Yeah,
they all came out. And so that allowed this film the idea of this film to come out. Now, all those had comedy and a little bit and horror and a little and martial arts. This is the first one that really brought out the romantic story. So at that point, I think that's what separated this film from its predecessors, is it really wrapped up all that together. The romantic story, the comedy, the martial arts, and the horror or supernatural element too. And that's what I think why it did so well and spawned not only sequels, but a bunch of films like it.
Do you like ghost stories, Dan?
It depends. I like ghost stories like this or like Ghostbusters. There's ghost stories I've watched that are really fun and interesting. Like even like old movies like The Ghost and Miss Muir. And even I remember watching when I was a kid, the Blackbeard's Ghost on Disney Channel or Disney at the time. There was no channel. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, and I've also seen very scary ghost stories that are very interesting and fun. I tend to like them better than a lot of other horror because there's usually not as much gore and there's the story tends to be more about, there's a mystery element to it, like why there's a ghost and all that kind of stuff. So I tend to like those stories better than if I'm in the horror genre, that I tend to lean towards those type of stories. Do you like ghost stories?
I do. I like those particular ghost stories, and they're very similar to what you were talking about, like the mystery of mystery ghost stories. But I also have to say that sometimes with the blockbuster horror film, which usually centers around ghosts, I have a really hard time with those because it's like, ghosts are bad. They're going to attack you and eat you. And it's like, and then it's just a bunch of crazy things that happen. But one of the things that I really like about ghost stories is because it's very interesting how filmmakers put ghost movies together, because there are ghost movies that I love where you don't even see a ghost, where you're like, or like The Haunting, where you're like, is there a ghost? Is there? Maybe not. Maybe it's all in my mind. Or I like, I can't remember the name, but it's the one with Nicole Kidman and Christopher Eccleston, where she's being tormented by ghosts and she's like, ghosts are in my house. And then, spoiler alert, you find out that she's the ghost. And so it's like a different aspect of the ghost story.
So she doesn't know she's dead?
She doesn't know that she's dead. And that's kind of part of the mystery element. It's like, why is there ghosts in your house? And it's like, it's because you're dead. You're the ghost. And so it's very interesting how ghosts, first of all, differ from Western adaptations to Eastern adaptations. Because with many of our adaptations, talking about Western adaptations, they're usually evil coming back.
Yeah, there's a good versus evil element. And they can't, and you have to win. The good people have to win.
And this is one of my favorite parts about this particular movie is that, and it's very common within Chinese culture, is that ghosts aren't necessarily evil. They're not necessarily good either. Some of them can be neutral, some of them can be good, some of them can be evil, and I really enjoy that
because they're chaotic. They can in fact, in some stories they can be all three, good at some points, neutral at others, and evil or bad. What they do runs anti to what the hero or the protagonist wants.
Yes, and I really enjoy that because in this movie they kind of talk about how the fact that the ghosts and humans are very similar. They kind of humanize the monster.
That really goes into Chinese traditions of death and things like that. Well, how she wasn't buried properly, so the demon, the tree demoness, was able to trap her soul and use that because it wasn't allowed to go where it was supposed to go.
It's a very interesting part of the movie as well because the latter third, you might say, is all about letting Susan's ghost go on into the afterlife. He made this promise to save her from the tree demoness, and it's all about getting her back to her home and burying her properly, which is a very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because usually when it comes to ghosts, it's A, you're expelling the ghosts, and B, it's usually this like, lights and swirls and crazy and wind and you in chaos.
Yeah, are you meaning in Western tradition?
Yeah, in Western tradition. But with this, it's actually, except for the scene in the underworld, it's actually very anticlimactic when she moves over to the other side.
And it's also been remastered and redone and reissued. That seems to be a very common thing now in Chinese cinema is they'll remaster and reissue these classics from, like they did Ashes of Time and a couple other ones I know of. And so it's just like, this seems to be a popular thing where they go back, find these older films and that are really popular, and then they'll really spend time restoring them and reissuing them. And something I wish they would do some with some American films that are kind of could really use being restored and reissued. You see them every now and then, but because of it costs so much money, it's not done too often. So, I mean, I think the thing is, what makes this story so fun for me is the aspect that you have this broad comedy, you have this idealized romantic story, this really naive guy who just is traveling the countryside collecting taxes. He's a scholar who doesn't really want to be doing that job, so he doesn't really try very hard to do that job. And he stumbles upon this temple where the ghosts are living. He stumbles upon a Taoist priest who is trying to expunge the ghosts. And, of course, he falls in love with one of the ghosts who's actually trapped and not evil, being forced by the demon goddess to lure people in so that the tree demoness can get their life force. So it's all what it's all about. It's like, so there's a vampiric aspect too about the ghosts and the demons all need the life force to live.
Now that when we think about supernatural love stories, they're very popular now, especially in the Western and Western novels and literature and things like that. Usually they focus more on the vampire werewolf aspect of the mythos, but there have been, you know, zombie films and ghost films and books. And so I thought this was such an interesting take on, well, love, first of all. Second of all, I thought it was a very interesting take on supernatural love because to me, it's just really funny that she pretty much tells him, "Hey, I'm a ghost." And he was all like, No, you're not. You don't have to say that. You're because she pretty much says, "I'm not immortal," which could be a mistranslation because there is a lot of complaints even back when this movie first came to the United States that the subtitles were kind of whack. But she says, I'm not immortal. And he goes, "It's fine. You're mortal. Why would you say that?" And so it's so interesting to me that even though he's kind of like an idiot, he has this pure of heart that allows him to...
Well, he's not an idiot. He's naive.
Naive. Yes. He's kind of this naive character, but because of this, he has this pure of heart to separate himself from the ghost woman so she knows that he's good because he's not trying to hook up with her, which is one of the reasons why she falls in love with him. So it's just a really interesting story about... You know, about respect the dead, respect your partners, respect everybody. And so I think it's a very interesting story.
For Halloween, and as a horror fan, did you find the horror elements or the supernatural elements of this film satisfying? Because one of the things that I thought was very interesting is that they actually had to teach themselves to do some of the special effects because nobody knew how to do stop motion for like, the zombies and they were teaching themselves how to do all that stuff, some of the other special effects in the film. And it actually, did it help create or was it done by the first?
It was Cinefex Workshop was the first ever SF.
Sorry, special effects?
Special effects workshop in Hong Kong.
But I think this film has something to do with either expanding what they could do or...
Well, they definitely did have, like you just said, they did have to teach themselves stop motion for the zombie skeletons and even the giant tongue.
Yes.
Which is a big part of this movie. The tree demoness has this huge tongue that she can control and it's like a boa constrictor almost.
Yeah, it's her power.
It's her power. And they had to...
It's like another movie I saw, the person uses their hair.
Mm-hmm.
The hair comes out and wraps around and ties people and stuff like that. And then the ghost gets to use her silk robes the same way. She shoots them out and they'll tie onto things and she can pull them back. And
yes, and they had to teach themselves, they had to teach them how to use stop motion, how to do latex effects and things like that. This was also done, like we said, pre-CGI, so there was a heavy amount of wire work within this movie. That has already been done but with the movies that we were talking about before that influenced this movie. So I definitely do think the expansion of...
What they were able to do.
What they were able to do.
So, but do you still think that the... back to my question, I don't know if I actually asked it. do you think this holds up as a ghost story and the special effects and all that stuff?
I definitely do think so. It's definitely a different monster than I was used to, especially with the giant tongue thing, which actually kind of grossed me out because I'm not a big body horror fan and it's not super body horror-esque, but slime is just not my friend. I thought the underworld demon, which I think they call him the Black King.
Yeah.
I thought he was really cool and really creepy, and his robes open up, and there's like a bunch of like women's faces.
Yeah, and he shoots them at people.
And I thought
I think they're spirits that he had captured.
And it's just such an interesting. I thought that was like the coolest monster. In the whole, and of course, this movie is set up kind of like video games style. Yeah,
that's the boss level.
He's the boss level, so he has to be cooler than all of the other monsters. But his design was really cool. His lair was really creepy because it was just black clouds and things like that. And that definitely adds to that what's beyond in your mind, which is one of my favorite things about horror. Is I love it when horror films. They don't show and they don't tell you. they just make you think about it. So then all you have to think about is what creeps you out. So I just thought his lair was pretty cool.
How do you think this ghost story is different than other ghost stories that you may have watched?
Well, like I said before, there's definitely this gray area when it comes to ghosts. You know, some of them are bad, some of them are good, some of them are neutral. And I really enjoyed that part of it because I'm kind of tired of the ghost-demon hybrid that is coming out of Hollywood right now. Where it's just you walk into a house and they attack you, and it's just like they don't have any backstory except for the fact that they're evil. And I kind of liked that this movie gave a monster, quote unquote, who's usually depicted as an other, a backstory, and actually humanized the monster. I really enjoyed that. That's definitely different than a lot of the ghost movies that I've seen.
I mean, we do have some traditions in Hollywood where some of the ghosts, like I said, in The Ghost of Miss Muir, Blackbeard's Ghost, they tend to be more on the comedy side. I think a drama one that would hold into that would be The Sixth Sense, where the ghost's not malevolent. They're neutral at most, or in like The Ghost of Miss Muir, they're a positive influence. So that's one of the things that I think when you watch Hollywood has had versions of that throughout. But yes, on a general statement, it's like the ghosts are bad, the ghost hunter is good, and the ghosts have to be, like you said, expelled or destroyed. Now, there's certain films like that I enjoy that are kind of like takes on that, like The Frighteners, done by Peter Jackson, where Michael J. Fox plays a ghost hunter, but he's like really, he employs ghosts to go haunt a house, and then he walks in there and unhaunts the house, and then so that he's friends with these ghosts. So it's not like he's like expelling ghosts, and then he has them go haunt another house, and then he goes and frees, you know, he goes and quote unquote expels them again. And he makes tons of money, and they work together, and they're in this symbiotic relationship, until of course they meet a really bad ghost, and then all of them have to work together to deal with this really bad evil ghost. So then it gets back to that traditional thing of bad ghost, but at least there's good ghosts in that story. I think the thing that really makes this unique is the martial arts, the magic, the romantic story, and then the comedy, that blend is just so unique to Hong Kong. Because I've seen other comedy horror films in America, but like Ghostbusters, but it's pretty much comedy horror, a little bit of action. And sometimes, most times, just comedy horror, like Beetlejuice, no action.
I definitely do think this combination of all four things is definitely very Hong Kong cinema. And the fact that these stories were really popular even before they became movies, it definitely allowed them to take a little bit from kung fu movies that were really popular, take a little bit from romance movies that were really popular, and make a whole new genre of movies that I think is very unique to that time period.
I honestly think they'd still be making them more if, I mean, they're starting to come back. Like I said, there's a TV show, there's a remake in 2011. So supernatural storylines are starting to make a comeback a little bit in Hong Kong. But as long as the Chinese mainland bans or does not allow supernatural stories, it's going to be tougher and tougher for them. But there is an audience out there that likes them outside of that, so who knows what happens. It probably won't be as big and as grand as some of the movies that I've seen, but it should be interesting. Was this the film you were expecting?
No, this film was not what I was expecting because of my idea of what ghosts are. I knew a little bit about Chinese ghosts and how they're a little bit more accepted. as just being an everyday occurrence, especially with a lot of their religious practices and festivals circling around ghosts and respecting ghosts and taking care of ghosts and your family's grave sites and things like that. But I thought it would be a little bit more like either the ghost was really friendly and like, hey, like, you know, like Uncle Jesse, or more on the oogie boogie side. I didn't realize that there would be like this combination of the two. Well, not there was no Uncle Jesse, but you know what I'm trying to say, a little bit more of a friendly ghost on the side of the humans, and then there was also the demon who was not on the side of the humans. And I was intrigued by that idea.
So did you enjoy the humorous aspects of the film, and do you think it was balanced with the horror, or did you think they worked together, or did you think they distracted from each other?
I thought when I was first sitting down to watch this movie, and the first time that you meet the tax collector is a comedic scene where his bread is too hard. His bread, you know, he sits down, he's like, I'm hungry, and he bites on the bread and it breaks his tooth, and he's like, ah, and he slams the bread on a rock and the rock breaks, and then he kicks the bread and the bread breaks his toe and his shoe. And that was like the first thing that you see him do. And when I was first watching it, I was like, oh, this is going to be cheesy, like cheesy horror. But I think because it was like you saw something, you laughed at it. When people started laughing at him, you kind of got this, like, in the movie, you kind of got this, like, well, he's the outcast part. This is how his story starts. And it kind of, the funniness and the humor expanded into the supernatural world. And I think it definitely did add a balance. Do you think it added a balance?
Well, I like the broad humor in this film. I think it does balance out some of the ghost story aspect, some of the romance, which could get a little syrupy if it wasn't there. And I think that having the broad humor totally, it relieves like your stress from like, oh, this ghost is going to come get him, or this good, or this is not going to end well. And then you have the humor aspect, you know, the humor scene comes in and it relaxes you, and you think, oh, okay, I'm good. Everything's good now. And then when the actual jump happens, the jump scare happens, you're like, it hits you a little bit harder than it would, because it's not really that big of a jump scare. I think it does balance it out well, and they used it well. And it also keeps, this movie could be a little long if you aren't used to this style of film, but it keeps you engaged when they have to go down into the third act, which is really long, where they go into the underworld.
I also think because it has this comedic aspect to it, it ages very well because of the fact that our technology when it comes to movie making is so amazing now. You know, we have those not green screens anymore. They're like full TVs now and things like that. I think if it didn't have the comedic aspects of it, I feel like the stop motion zombie skeletons and the stop motion tongue and things like that, I would have looked out of place. But because it has this kind of comedic aspect to it,
yeah,
we're allowed to suspend our disbelief just a little bit farther for these monsters.
Like you talked about earlier, there was a piece, it was somebody's dissertation, but they kept on talking about the half seriousness of this film, and like how it's people in China and in Asia really like the film because it has like this half serious point of view, like, but still like, and so I thought it was very interesting. Well, that's a good way of putting it, because it is, there are parts where it gets very serious about, are you going to survive or not survive, and how are you going to rescue this trapped spirit? And then there's parts where it's just, you know, being very comedic, and both of them are making points about different parts of different social points, some different points in the story, and both of them are working hand in hand. Like they're not just doing a scene for the joke's sake. the joke works with the story.
Exactly. If there was jokes for joke's sake, I don't think this, and it didn't fit in the movie, I don't think we would have been able to enjoy this movie as much as we did.
Yeah, I've seen films like that where they're just trying to...
Where they're just throwing joke after joke after joke at the wall, and after 5,000 jokes, one may stick, but it's still you had to trudge through 500 jokes. This movie picks its jokes very wisely because the jokes discuss certain topics, bring light
to a character's, like their character, the character choices.
One of the characters that we have talked about in this podcast is the Taoist priest. Wu Ma is actually a familiar face in the TML world because he played Su in Once Upon a Time in China, but he's also a prominent actor and director within the Hong Kong film industry. And he actually, after making this movie, produced and directed a bunch of movies that have the similar theme of supernatural comedic romance. They are Burning Sensation, Fox Legend, and Picture of a Nymph, or a Portrait of a Nymph, depending on your translation. And they're all supernatural films with this element of romance and comedy. This movie did expand a lot of people's careers, but also did expand into a new genre. Actually, this movie helped Leslie Cheung's career by allowing his popularity to rise in Japan, which helped with his singing career because he was a famous Asian singer and was a famous actor. And Joey Wong, who was a model and a basketball player before starting her filming career, became one of the four flowers of Hong Kong cinema, which actually in another movie that we did, again, Once Upon a Time in China, we see Rosamund Kwan, and she's also considered one of the four flowers of Hong Kong cinema. Because they are so popular and so important within Hong Kong cinema.
So one of the things that when I first watched this film, I really enjoyed it because it was like a new, the wackiness of it, the comedy, the horror, the romance, all put together and stirred up, and then you add in a dash of martial arts. And I just went along for the ride, had a great time. When you saw it for the first time, how did you feel about it? Because was it like you went around long for the ride and just like whatever happens, happens? Or were you just trying to figure out what was going on?
Well, I definitely saw some elements of the martial arts mystic throughout this movie that we've seen with other Hong Kong films. And I was very interested on how they expanded upon that because I only know a little bit about Hong Kong films, and so...
Yeah, with all the ones I've seen, I still consider myself pretty much a novice, because I was thinking about that the other day. I was, like, thinking of all the movies I've seen, and then I was still reading movies, like, oh, they're in this movie. I'm like, oh, that's on my list still. Still, to this day, that's on my list, because I keep adding more movies to my list. You can go down different aspects. I know people who are really good experts on just the films pre-1970s, because that's a whole different...
That's a whole different area of expertise.
Yeah.
And a lot of the movies and a lot of the genres changed in the 1980s, and they kind of point to that time period being culmination of change within the Hong Kong industry.
So the 70s, you have a lot of traditional stuff coming in, and by the time you leave the 70s and you're going into the 80s, that's why you had 1980, you have encounters of a spooky kind happening. You're starting to see genres starting to get mixed up. You're starting to see different filmmakers playing around with things. You still see traditional stuff being made, but it's definitely being reexamined, and the stories are being broadened. And I think it's so that the 70s, like in America, cinema in the 70s, studios were going through a big shift, and filmmaking was going through a big shift. So you see a lot of experimental, but like directors who wouldn't be considered a traditional director are getting a chance. Stories like your traditional stories not getting a chance. People trying new things. And then in the 80s, you start seeing a lot of that flourishing and becoming like traditional aspects of film. Like a major blockbuster made in the 80s that's based on ghosts and tracking them down and capturing them in little boxes. Who would have thought Ghostbusters would have been like a tentpole major release? And it was. So that's what you end up with in the 80s with Hong Kong film too. It's like all these films that are being made that are, they're trying different things and they're doing that would definitely. And as you go into the 90s, you see them almost codifying that, like this is an action comedy. This is a historical Western. In as you're watching these films from the 80s, just how many different film directors come and actors come out of those films?
Well, to me, it makes sense. It's a natural progression of things, because if you have the martial art hero, which is kind of has this mystical element to him, it's a natural progression to go a mystical being would also interact with other mystical beings, and maybe even, you know, so it totally makes this natural progression from kung fu, just a basic kung fu movie, to kung fu horror film with the supernatural elements. And then because Chinese ghosts are different than how we see ghosts, you know, they're a little bit more human. There's a lot more interaction within humans and ghosts, that a ghost would maybe have a relationship or fall in love, or somebody might fall in love with a ghost. Yeah. And then comedy just makes everything feel a little bit more, you know, fill everybody a little bit with joy, especially if you're talking about something.
Well, I think
that happens to everybody, that might be a heavy subject. So it's a natural progression in my mind that all four of these things would combine. So I definitely do think that when I was first watching this movie, the setup, you know, going into an ancient temple that everybody's afraid of, is definitely like a basic setup, especially with like these teenage horror films where it's like, we're going to go throw rocks inside that hot window, the windows of the haunted house. Want to come? You know, and everybody's like, don't touch it. Ah, you know, and it's a basic entrance into the plot. And so I was like, oh, this might be a little bit basic. And then it's all like, wow, and then we're like, oh, it's not basic anymore. And I really was strapped into a really fun ride. So do you think this movie holds up? I know we talked about it a little briefly, but.
Yeah, like you said, yeah, the comedy does help it hold up to special effects that aren't necessarily that wonderful. But I also think the story and the camera work help with that too. So it's a fun ride for me. Would you recommend this movie?
I would recommend this movie. I think it has great elements of horror. It allows people, especially American audiences, to understand cultures and mythos of different people in this great big world. I also think it's for those who really do enjoy the monster romances that are happening a lot, you know, within literature and movies. I definitely would recommend this movie because it's kind of like a precursor to that. Would you recommend this movie?
After seeing it again?
Yeah.
I would. It's like I said, it's one of those movies that I have a lot of nostalgia built into it. So I probably give it a pass on some of the story elements that are sag a little bit. It does sag a little bit. It's not like a bad sag. It's just like it could be tightened up just a little bit. But I really do enjoy the film. And there's a lot of things in the film that I love the character, the naive character that's trying to save somebody and then save the ghost. And I love the Taoist priest who's in Western tradition would be more like, you know, Gandalf and be perfect and give all the right advice. And in this situation, he's right about 60% of the time and makes mistakes and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun, especially if somebody who wants to watch films made from Hong Kong in the 80s, this would be one I would definitely make sure. I don't know you'd have to watch the sequels. You could if you want to. They're fun too. I remember watching them at one point. They kind of go along the same storyline, especially if you're only going to watch a certain amount, because it is considered one of the best films from Hong Kong cinema.
it was labeled, I think it was like number 50 on the top 100 list or something.
Yeah, something like that. And so, but, and it's, and also the quirkiness, and, you know, I just like quirky films that go out and do something a little bit different than a lot of their predecessors. So yeah, I totally recommend that. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for talking about this film. I can't wait to watch the film that you picked next week, even though it's a horror film. Everybody knows that's not my favorite. This is actually one I haven't seen and I'm looking forward to.
Yes, another step in the history of horror. If you did enjoy this episode, please subscribe, or if you're on Apple, please place a review. You could also follow us on Instagram at TML, A Journey Through Cinema, Twitter at TML, A Journey, or Facebook under The Movie Log 1. You can also find all of our past episodes on our website, TMLAJourneyThroughCinema.com. Happy Halloween!
Thanks for listening.